again. I'm not sure how many knows this story, but I'm going to tell it one more time if the pastor will allow me to. Several years back, I was attending a church with my partner here, Mr. Eugene, and one Sunday night he got up and he sung with his guitar. And I had a little bit of piano. I had taken a little bit of lessons, but I had never played a guitar. And my dad had passed away a couple of years previous, and he had an old guitar, and I thought it was great, you know, that he had a guitar, and I wanted to learn how to play it. So that night, after the service, I said, "Mr. Eugene, I have a guitar, and I would love for you to teach me how to play." He says, "Well, I need to see your guitar." So I lived about 5 minutes away from the church, so I proceeded home to get the guitar and brought it back. And I brought it back, and I was so proud of the guitar that I had. And he was just shaking his head. "No, George, can't teach you on that guitar. That's a guitar with plastic strings on it." He said, "But I'll make a deal with you. If you will go and get you a guitar, I will teach you how to play." I said, "Okay, what do I need?" He said, "Well, you need a Martin guitar." I said, "Okay, where can I find one?" He told me to go to Jacksonville. So a couple of days later, I went to Jacksonville at the music toy store there, and this specific guitar was there, HD28. I said, "Sir, I need my guitar. I've got someone that's going to teach me how to play." So I brought it home, and I was just gleaming. "All right, Mr. Eugene, I got my guitar. Let's teach me how to play." So he proceeded to teach me to play, and the song that we're going to sing for you this morning is the very first song that I played and sung in my first recital at our church. And I was a little bit nervous, and usually he likes to play the mandolin and kind of complement the mandolin and the guitar together, but that night he was kind of concerned with me missing my notes and whatever, so he played the guitar with me just in case I stumbled. And that's exactly what we're going to do for you this morning. We're going to play the dual guitars here. And you know, in the days and times that we're living in, we certainly need a friend. And you know, what a friend we have in Jesus.
What he didn't tell you too, it's kind of funny. That guitar cost $2,500.
Now, Mr. Eugene, I wasn't going to go into that. But you know, I had a loving wife that loves me and supported me all the way.
Oh, Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Good song, amen. Amen. Give them another round of applause. Tell them thank you. I do love a guitar. I have one more announcement before I get into my text, and that is I was informed that the Women's Auxiliary will be meeting on Tuesday this week. So all of our women, if you would like to join for that. Oh, that's right. I have two announcements. Not only is the Women's Auxiliary meeting, but also Miss Nora had her 94th birthday, if I'm not mistaken. 95. I didn't know you were that young. All right. 95. So we will be sending her a special gift here shortly, but let's all tell her happy birthday this week and sing it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. You can tell her thank you, or you can say happy birthday, Miss Nora, give her a hug, but if you squeeze her too hard, she'll pop you one right in the head. And that's what I've been the receiving end of that a couple times. We're going to be in the book of Romans today. If y'all will go ahead and turn there. Romans chapter 14. I did as most preachers do when they go to the Nationals. I just stole somebody else's. I'm going to preach that one. No, as has been told to me several times, it's okay to borrow somebody else's text as long as you do your own work behind it. I really do truthfully believe that this is exactly what I needed and what our church needed when I heard it. He preached this service. His name was Tim. If you'll remind me, I'll look up his name at the end of the service. But he preached this, and I remember thinking, I wish he was at home right now. I wish I'd have hired him to come and speak this message because I believe it was something that we needed. Romans chapter 14, if you will, please stand. We'll read these first 11 verses together. Romans chapter 14, I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "To him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master, and he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man march forward. Go through the fire. I'll be with you." And he'll tell the other one, "Watch through what I'm about to do." And if you think about it, it's two completely different stories, but you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who stood on their faith. And what did God do? Did he take the fire away? No, he threw them in there.
Then you have Elisha and his servant. And they're sent up and the armies are coming and the fire is coming. The armies are on their way. Did God tell them, pick up your swords, boys. I'm going to be with you. No, he says, hey, watch this. And fireballs from heaven come down and blew up everything. I can imagine just being that servant going, ooh, ooh. And the idea that those were two very similar situations, but God did two different things because they were personally fit for those individuals. God was growing them. He knew that they were strong and that he was going to make an impact on somebody else's life. You want to hear a great gospel presentation? Look for the people who are strong in their faith and watch them live their lives. Watch them when the fires come and then walk through the valleys, walk through the difficulties, and God will show them. If we will be strong in our faith, mind ourselves, be strong there, there's nothing that we can't do and there's nothing God won't be able to do through us. Secondly, know what's important. Know what's important. There's we are held to three different categories inside of these scriptures. The very first and foremost is that we are held to God and Scripture, that we be persuaded in our own minds that we know Scripture. Now listen, I don't know where you stand, but I'm a big proponent of this. I preach this. I teach this. I want this to be a part of your lives. I want you to love Scripture. And I want you to love your time with God. I want you to love your prayer time. I want you to love your church. I want you to love your family because these things take preeminence. How many of y'all know this? God gave you your family. Amen? God also gave you the ability to read and sight. He gave you two legs to walk. He gave you everything that you need to succeed in growing in your faith on a personal level. Your first and foremost decision, the first criteria you're going to be held with before God is, what did you do with the time that I gave you? What did you do in your faith? Not anything else, but you in particular. He says that's going to be the first criteria that we make. The second one is that we are held to self, that we will be given account of our actions. We are held account to obeying God. We're also held account to growing our own selves. One of my favorite ones, he says, work out your own salvation. Grow in the Lord in your own ways. Grow and put yourselves to the fire. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Ain't nobody going to make you a better Christian. Did y'all catch the Alabama slang? I just ain't. Ain't nobody. Ain't nobody going to get you better in your faith than you. I love it when y'all come and I love you say, hey, preacher, that was a great sermon. You pat me on the back. You hug me outside. I love all that. But to me, that is just an entertainment thing unless you apply it. That is just, hey, I'd pay $5 for that. And you put it in an offering plate and say, hey, that was good preaching and good singing. That was a good hour's entertainment. But until you apply it, you have done nothing to help yourself grow in your faith. You are going to be held responsible for every idle word that you say before God. Lastly, we are held to the foremost category of obeying God, secondly, of challenging ourselves, and lastly, we're held accountable to those that we worship with. If you go back into these, let's go where we left off. Look at verse 6. He says, and he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. And he that eateth to the Lord, and he that giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dieth to himself. This was something when I was in college at this point in my ministry where I'd been walking. Now listen, I didn't get saved until the very, 2 years before I started Bible college. I got saved. I was going to aircraft mechanic school. I was finding my faith inside that realm. I was taking night classes. I was working during the day. My whole days, week-longs at a time, was filled up. And every spare moment I had, I was reading Scripture, and I was praying because that was the only time that I had to do it. And as I was learning myself, I was growing myself, I never once became a church member in the truest sense of the form because I was too busy growing. And not enough time attaching myself to others. When I got to college and I began to understand what this meant, that no man was unto himself, then I started to pinpoint why I felt how I felt and the things that God used other people in my life. One of the most biggest moments in my life, and I've said this before and I'll One of the things that I had mentioned before, and I'll probably never forget this, is that first time I went to an Auburn game. Football season's right around the corner. I cannot wait. But the first time I went to an Auburn game, we were doing concessions. Our church was at the concession stand. We were raising money for our school. And I'll never forget this. The guy, he drove with the church. I had no idea he was going to do this. He rode in the back of the van. I just thought he was a chaperone of sorts. He was just there. He's an older guy. Most of the teens were the ones that were doing the work. And when I got there, he says, "James, this is your first game, is it not?" I said, "I've never been to any college sporting game ever." He says, "I assumed. I'm going to work in your place today. And I want you to go out there, and I want you to stand in the midst of those people, and I want you to watch your first college football game." I'll never forget that day. I can remember Kenny Irons running off the sidelines and the crowd going, and me getting caught up in all that energy. I was blown away, and it's from that day on I was an Auburn fan for life. But what I was more a fan of was that one individual who took the time to let me enjoy. And at the end of it, he says, "I want you to be just as excited on Sunday when somebody gets saved as you were today." And he took that time not only to bless me, but to teach me and guide me. And I remember saying, I wanted to be like that. I wanted to give blessings. I wanted to be a help for people. And then I wanted to show them what God really has done in my life and what he can do in other people's lives. I learned that I was being connected over and over and over again, and that I was learning from professors, from friends, from teachers. I was learning from pastors and deacons. I was learning from church members. I was learning from couples. It was an amazing process for me to realize how I saw God work in other people's lives, I could apply in mine. I watched several of my peers go through deathly illnesses when I was in college. I've seen my best friends in hospital beds agonizing in pain, knowing that I'm only here for a vapor's moment. I saw myself when those people who were suffering and going through these illnesses would get up and preach and to sing with their hearts bleeding over for how God's been good to them. And all I ever saw was the negative. How amazing it was to see the overflow of their morning devotions and their prayer lives and all of those blessings. I was being intertwined with such great people. I wanted to be that. I wanted to be the person that you saw more than just me on Sundays. You saw me doing everything I could on a daily basis to be real with God. To do that, you got those two points. You got to first mind your business. You got to grow. You got to commit to grow. You got to commit to do the things that you've been called yourself to do. And secondly, you got to know what's important. You got to know that God is more important than stuff. You got to know that God is more important than anything else. And you got to know that you are going to be the one that is going to strengthen you. And you got to recognize others that are around you. Nothing compares to what you should be doing for what God's called you to do. We should understand and know that God's will for us always revolves around other people. It's never just a one and done thing. If you would, let me continue on through Romans chapter 14 and get to this last point. He says, "Let us therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother is be grieved with the meat, with thy meat, now walkest thou unto charitability. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things which one man edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God, and all things indeed are pure. But this evil for that man who eateth with offense." It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby the brother stumbleth, or to offend, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before the God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Did y'all get what Paul is saying here? Did y'all get it? He says sometimes you have a Christian liberty to do what you want. But what you don't have a liberty to do is to tear down other people while you do it. I made this statement before. I love stubborn people. I love y'all to death. And yes, y'all are stubborn. Some of y'all are more stubborn than I am, and I can't help it. But me and my wife are both stubborn. Our kids are stubborn. We have it in our mind that this is the right way, and I have no problems with pastoring stubborn people. What I do have a problem with, though, is when stubborn people start impacting other people's lives in a negative way. I have a problem with that. You can do what's good for you all day long, but the minute that your kids or your wife or your husband or your neighbors begin to lose their faith, they become weakened because of your testimony, I have a problem. We have a problem. And that's why I step in as a pastor, not a friend. You got to wake up and realize that you are not in this by yourself. And the actions that you take resolve a lot of different consequences. My pastor, he told me this. He says, a lot of problems that we have with other people come out of our mouths. He says, I'm going to tell you this. He says, it's not Bible. He says, but it's good stuff. He says, God gave you two ears and one mouth, so you should talk twice as less as you listen. I took that to heart. And I began to listen, and I began to apply, and I began to shut my mouth on occasions where I would know that I would offend somebody. I'm not here to draw lines in the sand about what my political preferences are. I'm not here to talk about denominational preferences. I'm not here to talk about all the meat, the little things in life. I have one goal in my life, and that is to please God and to win as many people as I possibly can. Paul said it best. He says, I would be all things to all men. By all means, I would save, say it with me, some. That I would do the best I can to witness. I don't want to cause offense. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be the person that when you know me, you become less appealed to the Christian life. I want you to know me fully, and I want you to see me for who I am, a genuine believer in Christ, not someone with a hand-me-down faith. Amen? I want somebody who's going to see me and want the Jesus that changed my life. What we have here in this last little bit, I gave you the two principles of knowing what's important in mind in your business. But I want this one to sink in. People are our calling, not our responsibility. They're our calling. And you say, oh, no, there are responsibility, preacher. That's why we're here. No, there are calling. I'm going to try and win them. How many of y'all know that God puts a priority on the lost? Amen? He leaves the 99 to seek the one. He puts a priority on lost people. Why? Because, listen, their eternal destination of going to hell is not a desired destination. Not for them, not for anybody. He wants lost people to be saved. And he says, this is our calling. We should do whatever it takes to go and to be there. Some of the greatest poets of all time have been Christian people with this one topic. How they would crawl on hands and knees over a sea of broken glass just to get one person to save. That they would stand at the gates of hell with a water pistol fighting back demons just to win one lost person. Listen, that's our goal, is lost people. Yes, we're responsible. But we can give, how many of y'all know this? We can give people every reason to be a Christian and they'll still turn Jesus down. That's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault when people forsake the church and forsake the Christian life. It's not your fault when they denounce Christ. It's not your fault when they go through the difficult times of their lives and they want to blame God. That's not your fault. It's not. But it's your responsibility to be willing to go in the valleys with them and help them. It's your calling. Their destination is not on you. But how they walk from this point to the next, that's where you and I shine. And this is what I love about this message and what I love about everything that this message has taught me. You're different than I am. You may be able to win somebody that I never will. You're different. You have different likes. You have a different view on life. You may have a different position on politics or whatever. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. But what that does give you is a connection with somebody else. That somebody else can be one that I would never be able to because I'm just a little bit different. I know this for a fact. I'm a bit of a spaz. And I know that a lot of people don't like the energy that I put off, and that's okay. If you don't want to be around me, I'm okay with that. If it's just too much for you to handle, I get it. You can only take me in small doses, so you only come to church on Sunday mornings. I get that. But when you leave, you shouldn't just take what I'm given and leave it at the door. Because somebody else out there is going to love you a lot more than they love me. You've got a family out there that knows you left, right, and center. They know everything about you, and you're going to be the key to getting them to know who Jesus is. Well, I would never be able to do that. People will always be our calling. We will prioritize the lost over the saved every single time. That's just me. If God put it as a priority to leave the 99 to save the one, then I'm going to put it as a priority to save the lost. And I don't mean to thrust you in a place where you have to grow up real fast and say, hey, I can deal with this. Because I want to be there. And listen, I'm going to say this again. I said at the beginning of the church, and I want to emphasize this. If you need me, write it on the back of that welcome card, and I will be there. 100% of the time. I'm going to do my best to be there in your times of need. Because this is what this is. This is church. And we can be different. I can be a bit of a spaz, but I will have priority. My priority for myself, my prayer time, my Bible time, my time with my family, those are things that I can never trade in. Y'all know that, right? Can I get a holy head nod? A holy mumble? Maybe an amen? You got any Pentecostals? This is the time to do a cartwheel. Anybody out here? These are things I'll never be able to change. I'll never be able to give up, and I never will give up. Secondly, I need to work on me. I know this may have fallen to deaf ears for a lot of people, but I don't listen to a preacher that's going to challenge me every week. So my time with God turns into my second point. I'm the one that has to change me. I hear a lot of people say, oh, it must be nice to work for yourself, preacher. My boss is the perfect boss. I stand in his presence, and I feel completely unprepared to stand before you today. But my last one. That last point, that's where we all meet together. You need to go home. Pray with your family. The family that's not here, you need to call your brothers and sisters because you're not going to be promised to have them forever. Can I get an amen? Amen. You need to talk to your neighbors because your neighbors may be going through a financial difficulty and they may leave tomorrow and you'll never know it. You are connected in a way that nobody else, there is no other connecting. There is no other connection to the people that you know other than you. You are going to be the greatest Bible that they've ever read. We are not called to change people. We're called to lead them. You're not responsible for their output, but you are responsible to get the message to them. I remember it was Sunday or Monday. It was the beginning of the week when this individual, Brother Tim, preached this message. Of course, it sounded nothing like I preached. I encourage you to go on there and listen to him. You can go on side to Facebook. They have them all posted. And I remember thinking how much I missed you guys. This, I feel at home here. Literally, I was 3 hours from the place that I was born, and I missed here. I was 3 hours from my dad. I missed here. I miss being connected. I miss having worship. I missed your singing. I missed your spirit. I miss this. I'm going to ask you something, and I want this to really do these three things. My 3 points, I want you to apply them. I want you to go home, and I want you to think on these things. One, is God a priority to you? First and foremost, is he a priority to you? If that's the only thing you leave here today, I've done my job as a pastor. If you leave and never come back, I'm fine with that. If you say that you put God first. Secondly, are you challenging yourself? Because listen, your pastor, me, your deacon, I call him Preacher Paul. We're not going to grab your hand and tell you, hey, we're going to pray right now. This is the time that I'm not going to call you every day at a particular time and tell you to pray. I'm not going to be the one that opens the Bible every time you open it. That you have some, you can read. This is not South Alabama. Y'all've got this. You can do it. Grow. Allow God to mold you, break you, turn you into the vessel that he desires for you. And lastly, this is one that everybody in here, you need to connect with other people. You need to be the bigger individual and say, I'm willing to get down in the valleys with my weaker brethren, so the Bible tells you. But I'm telling you, the term weaker there just means that I haven't grown up yet. How many of y'all, you've ever been in a lunch line, or a lunch line, y'all aren't high school kids. You ever been at the grocery store, you hear somebody use some foul language? And you go, oh, how dare they in my presence? One of the greatest things I've ever heard about this, he says, I don't expect lost people to act like saved people. I don't expect weak Christians to act like grown Christians. But what I do, what I would do, suggest, what I encourage my people to do is to go along the line, them not be shocked and dismayed and say, you filthy person, and walk away thinking that you're better. You go to them and say, do you not know what the Lord thinks about an uncontrolled, unruly mouth? Do you know what it's like? He calls you, if you can quote the book of James, the ladies' auxiliary is going through the book of James. We're going through the book of James. It's a James, book of James kind of church. But he says, it's a little fire that kindleth a great one. Let's tone it down a bit for the kids' sake, for your family's sake. Let's honor God with the words we say. Let's honor our families with the words we say rather than just giving way to whatever throws through our head. Church, I love you. And I hope God spoke to you today. But if you'll abide by those three things, you'll connect yourself with other people, you'll challenge yourself to be right, and you'll make God a priority in your life, I'm telling you, we're going to see some great things. Great things in God in your life and the lives of those that you love. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, as the musicians come, I want to ask you, church, just be genuine with yourself. Just be real. Don't put on a front. But I want to ask you this, and we're coming into this place where we're praying, and I want to ask you, did God speak to you in some way, in some fashion? Has he challenged you to make him a priority? If so, if he's challenged you to be connected, if he's challenged you to grow yourself as a Christian, would you raise your hand? Let me pray with you. That's all I want. Thank you. All over the room. What a wonderful people you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for speaking to hearts. We thank you for speaking to lives. Lord, we ask that we would be genuine enough to not just hear the message and put it on the floor, not just to go and to forget about all the things we're going through, but Lord, to hold true to this fact. That we are not men unto ourselves, but we are connected in the joint worship, the joint living, how we live this life honors you. It worships you in every way. May your blessings be upon the service as we go, be upon the singing, and bless those who rose their hands, a double blessing, for they showed courage this day to trust in you. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' holy name we do pray, our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen.